I'd like to welcome everyone from the distances that wherever you are, Seychelles, the West Coast, all the different places where you're gathering with us today. We're so grateful, really, for the technology that we have to be able to do this. for those who are experiencing the massive, crippling heat wave, you'll notice that I am here in a jacket today, but that is not the least of it, or the most of it. We actually had to turn the heat on last night in our prayer meeting, so just to let you know that we are in another world. I talked to our neighbor that's here now for the summer, and she just told me that it was 118 on her porch in Ontario. And so here we are, and we have actually our heat on. We turned our heat on July 30th. Normally, we can't wait that long in the year before we turn the heat on. So we're really doing well this year that we made it as far as the end of July before we had to crank the heat again. But, you know, we got a good couple of weeks there before, you know, reducing the bills there. So that was good. So for you guys who are having heat wave, can't relate. Cannot relate. This is supposed to be the best day of the week, too. It's supposed to go down from here. Actually, it's supposed to rain the entire week, start to finish. Which is good, because, of course, we haven't had quite enough rain. We had almost a day and a half of sun mixed in between 3 days. You can imagine how much we need a little bit more water. Let's turn over to 1 John chapter 2. I wish you all could join us for our worship times, and I wish you could have been here this week in our prayer for revival, but I hope that you've been praying in your own homes with us. We have a couple praise reports. Dave and Ben, although I haven't seen Ben, Dave Greenier is here, and reportedly his son Ben is here as well. So that's a blessing. But also Helen Bonnet is back with us, so she got her visa, and we are so blessed that she's here with us. Helen, would you like to say anything? Give a little testimony? She's no. She's still shy. Okay, so we're going to go over to 1 John chapter 3. I'm sorry, I didn't have my glasses on. We're actually going to speak about two of the songs that we did here at worship today, which is Behold What Manner of Love the Father has Given to Us, that we should be called sons of God, and also that His favor surrounds us with a shield, for Thou hast blessed the righteous. These are two amazingly important concepts for us to take hold of, especially we who have been brought into an understanding that the way to the throne of grace is through repentance and humility. And so as we approach God in His prescribed method of repentance, you know, then sometimes the devil can take advantage of that. And he can just pound us with all the things that are wrong with us. And we have very little grounds for self-defense because there are all these things wrong with us. But the devil really blows them up. He makes them huge. And I know that Helen suffers from that. And a lot of us do. Once we enter into the right relationship with God, which is that we would be humble before Him, that we would admit our wrongs, and that we would live in transparency, as we teach and as we live, the devil can take advantage of that mindset to really, really crush us with the weight of our shortcomings. And he's being the accuser of the brethren, that being his job description, he does his job very well, and he's very quick to exploit everything that we do that is a shortcoming, and he can make it a lot worse than it really is before God, because God really actually has covered our sins. So this is for those, this message is not for those who belong to the church of self, which is, it's all about you. It's all about how much God loves you and how much you are worth loving, that God looks down and likes what he sees. If you're part of the self church, as we call it, this message will not relate to you. It's not for you. It's for those only who have come before God with a contriteness of heart and of spirit in the way it is prescribed in the Bible. So, but for those who have come in the prescribed manner, this is, the message today is a word of life and breath and hope. Lord God, we pray that you would be with us this morning and that you would speak to us through your word today, that you would grant to us a fuller understanding of who you are, that you would grant to us refreshment and encouragement and help and strength, oh Lord God, and the ability to stand in the midst of our opposition, in the midst of our foe, in the midst of our accuser of the brethren. Lord, that we would be able to stand and to understand what it is that you have done for us. So make your word to be alive to us today and speak, oh God, your oracles to us. Praise you, Lord. 1 John 3, verse 1 says these very words of the song that we sing so often here. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God, and such we are. Those last couple of words there, and such we are. That is the underscoring, the confirmation of the fact that we actually are children of God. And I've often said that if we really believed God's word, if we really believed God's word, we would walk around with a lightness that we would be almost floating away. And when we're not floating and we're not filled with lightness, it means necessarily that at some level we have doubted the word of God. The heaviness of our walk comes from doubting God on some level and doubting his word. Because if we knew and we comprehended what this, just this one scripture alone says, if we understood what this means, that we should be called children of God, and such we are, if we understood that, we would be full of lightness all the time. You see, we read it and it's just a few words on a page, but the meaning behind it is a universe. There's a universe of meaning behind those couple words, such we are, children of God. There is so much behind that that we need to understand. We need to kind of try to get a grasp on what that means so that it will change our world. So right now, as the word says, we see as through a glass darkly. And so with our eyes and our reason, we read these words. But we do not actually comprehend what it means that we are called children of God. We don't really know what that means. We do not really understand what it means that he has given us his name and that he has even, he has taken the lowest of the low. He has taken the lowest of the low and he has raised us up to the heights of his glory. He has raised us up as Helen and Lisa and Chris and John have been going out to Charlottetown in the middle of the night for this last year. They encounter what we would call some really unsavory characters. And these would be the lowest of the low of our society. And it's the same every place you go. And they're there to lift them up and to make them to be children of God. But such we are all the same as they are. We are all the lowest of the low. We just have maybe different external circumstances, but we're all the same. God has taken all of us who are the lowest of the low, and he has lifted us up to these this amazing, even dizzying height, so that he is sharing his honor with us and his glory with us. And it even says, Jesus even says that he shares his throne with us as he shares the throne with the Father. Like, we don't understand what that means yet. We do not comprehend what it means because we don't see the King in his glory yet. But when we do, we're going to be very, very, very surprised at this word that he has made us to be his children. So we are living fairy tale. We are the true fairy tale, where we who are the beggars and the homeless beggars have found out that we are actually true sons of a king. So we are living the reality of a true fairy tale. But it doesn't seem like that to us right now. And that's because a really good picture of that is that if a very, very poor person was notified that they had just received an immense inheritance, and then they would go to the lawyer's office to make good on this or to redeem this inheritance, that they were notified, they go to the lawyer, they get this document. Okay, so as a poor person, of course, a poor person has got a whole different concept of money, and they're going to the lawyer expecting that they're going to be able to come out of his office with a wheelbarrow full of gold coins. But instead, they get sat down and they receive a document, a piece of paper, describing the inheritance. And instead of walking out of there with any cash in their pocket, they walk out with a piece of paper that is their inheritance. And so, because the inheritance is not redeemable until a certain date, let's just say wasn't redeemable for 20 years, and then this amazing estate would pass to them. And so in truth and in fact and in reality, they have just received the documentation that this estate, this immense estate, is going to come to them eventually. And so that's the reality. But what they walk out of the office with is a piece of paper. And as they go back to their world, all they have is a piece of paper. And they're the same as they were before. And they're still living in this amazing poverty. And so things can be very difficult as they are awaiting this inheritance. And not only can it be difficult, but they can go to despair. And they can say, you know, my life is no different before I had this inheritance. Like everybody, you know. It's just like they're so excited about this amazing fortune they've inherited. But now they're like, oh, but my life is still the same. I'm still poor. And they can despair. Or their friends around them can say, yeah, you're just an idiot. That paper's not worth anything. And they can be very tempted to neglect it. Or they can through carelessness, they can neglect that document, maybe even misplacing it and not remembering where they put it. Because in their ordinary life and in their disbelief of the reality of the inheritance, they treat it very casually. And so the inheritance can be lost, it can be misplaced, or they can become enraged that What's the good of this? Man, my life is still rotten. I'm still eating a can of baked beans, and that's all I have in the house. And what's the good of this lousy inheritance anyway? And just throw it out. And you could see that if it was a long time, that this could be a very, very, very difficult trial to hold fast to the inheritance and to understand. Now, if they could comprehend the reality of that document, if they could grasp what that document really says and the reality of it, their life would be radically changed, no matter what their living circumstances were. They would understand that though they look like a beggar, they are actually exceedingly wealthy. And they would have a whole new outlook on life, and they would just endure this season of waiting with this quiet inward confidence and satisfaction in this secret, this amazing secret that they are in fact actually exceedingly wealthy, and that in due time it will come to them. And so this is what our inheritance is like in Christ. We have received the inheritance, but it is not fully realized until we die, and then we see the immensity of the promises of God. Then we begin to see for the first time, whoa, this is my inheritance. Yeah, you're a son of God. Do you have any idea what that means to be a son of God? Do you have any idea? Well, when we stand before him, we will understand what it means for Emma to be a daughter of God and for Dave to be a son of God. We will suddenly see with our eyes and understand the reality of what it means to be called by his name. That's why Jesus speaks so often about rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. He doesn't go into great detail about all the different things that have been prepared. He says it is enough that our name is written in the book, because he knows what it means to be called a son of God or a daughter of God. He knows the full reality of that. And so we have been placed in a position that is so amazingly high that we can't for the time understand it. But think about this. This is an amazing thing. God, when he formed man in the dust, formed man in his own image and likeness. He conceived of man to become like him, and to become a fit companion and friend of God. That's what he designed when he came up with man. Now, we don't look like that to ourselves, but that was his concept, and he's completing it. And so he took man, and he made him a little bit lower than the angels. Now, the angels, they dwell in the presence of God. Like Gabriel says, I'm Gabriel. I dwell in the presence of God. You're going to doubt what I'm saying, Zacharias? I'm Gabriel. I dwell in his presence. These angels of God, these myriads and myriads and hosts of angels, which are so holy, which are so glorified, that Daniel, one of the most righteous men who ever lived, fell down as dead when he met an angel. The angels are nothing to be trifled at. They're not little cherubs with heads and wings. They are really powerful and holy beings. And God asked that host of angels if they would do something that was very, very difficult. He asked them to become nursemaids for this new creation that God had made and formed out of the dust of the ground that was going to grow up to become one with him. He asked the angels if they would serve by tending God's children while they grew up and to change their diapers and to be with them all the time as they're walking and falling and falling and falling. And to be here right in the muck with us. And the angels were given this amazing call to lower themselves. Okay? So ordinarily we would think of God, his holy angels, and then men. But God didn't set it up that way. God set it up so that God made men to be eventually raised up with him. So he has made the angels to serve him by serving us and raising us, as it were. So just like a little kid has got a nanny who's just the sweetest woman and is the boss, right? The nanny is the boss. But that child is eventually going to grow up and is part of the household, and the nanny is just the nanny in the household. You see, that's the relationship essentially between us, God, and the angels, is that they are the nannies, and they're doing it willingly because they love God so much. But not all of the angels loved God that much. When some of the angels saw that their place was going to be given to smelly, whining, miserable little creatures, they just couldn't bear the thought of changing their diapers. Some of the angels couldn't bear the idea of being given such a lowly task, and they rebelled. So God tested their hearts. And one in particular, Lucifer, who stood in the presence of God and was second to God in glory. He could not conceive of the idea of lowering himself to put somebody else in his place. He couldn't conceive of that idea. And he rebelled against God. And that inability to lower himself and to put humans in that place is what turned Lucifer into Satan. Now, that's why. You ever wonder why the devil is so vicious and why he's so mean? It's because he really actually hates us. It's because he really hates the fact that God passed over him in order to put these sniveling little humans in the place of him. So he hates us with a purple passion of hatred. That's why our enemy fights against us with such ferocity and such viciousness. He loves to simply inflict pain upon us. His greatest joy is simply afflicting people. Any people, the children of God especially, but anybody who is formed of the dust is in the image of God. And that's why he afflicts those guys who are drug addicts and whose lives are so miserable. You think, what's even mess with them? It's because they have the image of God stamped on their faces. They are part of God. And so, the devil hates us with an inherent, innate hatred. And that just shows, it demonstrates what it is that God has done for us little humans. He has lifted up us up into a place which at this moment we cannot conceive of. He had put us in a very, very high position. And we will eventually see it. But right now, it's a test, because all we have is a document saying these things. All we have is a document. We've been to the lawyer and we've received the document. We have not received the glory and we have not received the honor. We've received a document instead of those things. And what does it say in the same verse? 1 John 3:1, it says, for this reason the world does not know us because it did not know him. So right in the same verse, we have the glory of the inheritance and we have the distress of the trial, which is that the world rejects us. And so, as we become a child of God, and we are so excited because we get the document, we're just like, whoa, this is my inheritance. But then, instead of life being wonderfully changed so that everything is wonderful, no, life can get really, 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 really hard. And it can get harder, way harder than it was before, because the world doesn't know us. Because we're seeking something that the world thinks is foolish. We're seeking something that they don't even understand or believe. They've never even seen the document. So they just think the worst of us. And so our life can get very, very difficult. And now we're tempted to think that our inheritance is not worth anything. This is where the despair comes in. Now we begin to despair. When we despair, it means we think that our inheritance isn't worth anything. We think it's just a piece of paper. There's no meaning behind it. Or we can treat it casually. We can treat our inheritance casually so that we don't treat it with the seriousness of that is my life on that piece of paper. And we can get careless with it, and we can lose it, and we can let go of our inheritance. And many, 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 many Christians who start out well never make it to the finish line because they treat that inheritance casually. They do not understand how valuable that piece of paper is. And so ours is to grab hold of it. And then we are also tempted because people will make fun of us. They will scorn our piece of paper. They'll mock the fact that we're holding on to this. And they'll say, yeah, we're stupid that we're holding on to this document as though it means something. And so we are tempted to trying to be accepted. You know, we all want to be loved. And we all want to be accepted. None of us like to be rejected. And so we begin to think, oh, well, maybe if I just put it down for a little bit, then I'll be happy and loved. Man, that piece of paper is worth a lot. It's worth a real lot. That inheritance is from God. And so we must hold fast. We must hold fast. We must hold fast to that inheritance. Hold fast to the word. Now, if we read, if we go back to that documentation and we keep reading through it, it's just like, oh yeah, that's right. That's why I'm holding on to this, because look, it says here, here, and here, X sign here, initial here, y'all, oh yeah, I'm in here. This is me, this is my inheritance. If we keep going back to that document, we find that we can hold on, that we're encouraged. But if we really believed the document, we would be ecstatic. We would be filled with a holy joy all the time. And there'd be no trial that would be too hard. There'd be nothing that was too difficult. It'd be like, wow, I'm a son of God. And I understand what that means. I've looked into it and I know what this means. And so as we read the books about the Chinese martyrs and the things they endured and the missionaries who went there, and they went to their death with such victory, with such joy, with such an overwhelming confidence in God. It's because they'd been over the document and they had found it to be genuine. And they had believed their inheritance. They believed it. And so with us, we just have to take hold of this in belief and understand the reality of it. Then we will be filled with this, with that lightness. That will be filled with lightness. So let us keep in mind, and please, everybody here, remind me of this, because I am the worst in this area. Remind each other when we are downcast, when we have a heavy spirit, When we are despairing, it means necessarily that we have disbelieved our inheritance. We have disbelieved the reality of our inheritance. That's what it means. Because Jesus said, when these things happen to you, when men reject you, he said, leap for joy. He said, rejoice, because great is your reward in heaven. So that's the sign of believing his word. That's the sign of believing his word. And that's where God would have us to walk. And I just pray that we'll get to that point where we can start walking and singing through trials instead of being weighed down by trials. If we could just start singing through trials, what an awesome thing that would be. Let's pray. Oh, God, first off, we want to thank you that you have indeed called us to be sons and daughters of God. That you have made us to be something which we don't understand yet, but we will one day see what it means to be your children. And Lord, we pray for your help to start singing through our trials and rejoicing through our difficulties, having a firm belief and confidence in the inheritance that you have granted to us. Lord, if you did not withhold your own son, there's nothing more you can do for us. You did it all. Did not even withhold your son in your purchasing of us, Lord. So I pray we would enter into lightness this week. I pray that we would enter into rejoicing this week. I pray, oh God, that we would be filled with a confidence that you have called us to an amazing inheritance, even if it's not for this minute. Yet, Lord, you have granted to us your presence and your comfort and your peace and your joy now, without measure, while we wait for the inheritance. So, Lord, I pray you strengthen every one of my brothers and sisters that is watching today and those of us that are here. Lord, may you strengthen us. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Now, we did just finish up our week of meetings for prayer. But don't stop praying for revival. The Lord listens to the prayers of a few, which is really amazing. So let's keep praying and let us all keep praying together. And let us see what the Lord will do. And for those who missed the revival meetings, and we're here the rest of the summer and into the middle of September. So still come up and visit if you can for a couple days. And it'd be great to see you. May the Lord bless you.